Okay. So since it's been 2 weeks, I'm just going to kind of, let's go ahead and read Daniel. We'll just read the first verse. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Just the one verse. And who would read that?
At that time, Michael was over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Okay, at that time, Michael shall stand up. And so I'm just going to do a quick review, being it's been 2 weeks, and trying to get us back up to speed. And I'm going to kind of just skim through my notes here and hit the high spots. But anyway, it says at that time, and that Michael is going to stand up. And we've already talked about the fact that Michael seems to be the guardian angel over the land of Israel. And over the Jews, I guess. Well, anyway, it's, yeah, over the Jews. And so Daniel's going to stand up, and it says, and it starts off, and at that time. Now, the time we're talking about, we're mid-tribulation here. And this is a time, and we read Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12, and it talks about Michael standing up, and that's when this war in heaven takes place. And Satan is cast out of heaven to the earth, and he is angry, and he comes after the Jews with a vengeance. He knows his time is short. He's got 3.5 years, and so he's cast to the ground, and Michael's standing up. He's standing up to defend the children of Israel. And in verse 9, it says that old serpent was cast to the earth. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 12 and 7 through 12, and I'm just going through those verses. This isn't in the book of Daniel. But anyway, we've kind of covered that. I just kind of made some little notes here. It says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Folks, we've never seen here. And we will never see the kind of trouble that they're going to have then. And if we're Christians, we're going to be avoiding that. But anyway, there shall be a time of trouble such as there never was before. And in fact, even Jesus said, this is when the devil cast out of heaven. He sets up his... the Jewish temple has been rebuilt now, and the Antichrist sets himself up, declares himself to be God, and says, worship me. And Christ says, when you see the abomination of desolation taking place, you see this, get out. And we read the verses. It says, don't go down to take your coat. Don't go home. Don't do anything. Just run. Flee. I mean, it's urgent. And these are Christ's words, get out of there fast. You know, don't pack your bags before you go. You don't have time to pack your bags. And that's what Jesus said. He just says, get out, run. And during the last half of the tribulation, which is the last half of Daniel's 70th week, okay, we've been through the first 69 weeks, which ended at Christ's triumphal entry when he enters into Jerusalem. Time stopped, and then the 70th week began at the signing of the covenant where the Antichrist makes this covenant with the Jews. And so then God's timetable starts ticking again, and we got 7 years, the final week, the 70th week. And so we're in the last half now of the 70th week, or the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And so Satan releases all the forces of hell against the people of God, against the Israelites. And he wants to destroy them so there can never be any of them for a kingdom. He's wanting to annihilate them. It'll be so bad that people want to hide and even die. And we read the verse. It says they pray to the mountains, fall on us, cover us up. You know, they're wanting to die. And in fact, Jesus said there will be time will actually be shortened for the elect's sake. Get my words going here. But time's going to be short because if the Bible says no one would be able to survive. It's going to be so bad, everybody. And so the time has been shortened for that. We'll talk more about that in the future. It'll be so bad. Okay, I already read that. And then here at the end of this section here, it says, Jesus says, this is just the birth pangs. It's just the beginning of sorrows. You know, when he says, run, get out of there. It's just the beginning of real sorrows. And so that is where we left off last time. So that kind of brings us up to speed. And we were actually, rather than go to the book of Daniel, turn to Revelation chapter 12. We'll just start off in Revelation here. It's amazing. In this study of Daniel, we spent a lot more time in other books than we have in the book of Daniel itself. Daniel, a lot of times, just he touches on a topic, but doesn't really say a whole lot about it. And we got to go to the other books, Revelation especially. That fills in a lot of the blanks. And so let's go ahead and we're going to read here Revelation chapter 12, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. And when it's talking about the woman here, the woman is referring to the Israelites, to Israel, to the Jews. So who would read Revelation 12, 5, and 6 for us? Kathy? Okay. Have we ever seen this number 1,260 days before? We've seen it several times. It is recorded several times in Scripture. Okay. And so basically this right here, it's talking about the Jews. And the Jews brought forth the man-child, which is Christ. And Christ is caught up to heaven. And then it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there, 1,260 days. All right, so Satan through the Antichrist and all the demons of hell, they're coming after Israel again. In verse 6, it says, under this persecution, the Israelites flee to the wilderness, to a place prepared by God, for 1,260 days. Now, let's skip over and read verses, in that same chapter, Revelation 12, read verses 13 and 14. And who'd read that for us, please? Delbert? Okay. Yeah, just the two verses. Okay. And notice the chronology of these two verses. And again, I'm convinced, folks, at this particular point that Satan is cast out of heaven mid-tribulation. And I think, like I say, I've taught in the past. I've learned a lot. I've taught in the past that happened right before the fall, of Adam and Eve. Anyway. But the chronology here, it says, when the dragon saw he was cast out of the earth, and at the end of that, it's going to talk about that he has but a short time. I guess we didn't really read that, but he's cast out, and he, I'm getting mixed up here. And so Satan is persecuting the woman, Israel, who brought forth the man-child. And it says in verse 14, they were given two wings of a great eagle. All right? This phrase speaks of supernatural assistance given by God in a time of human helplessness. They're basically helpless, and God is assisting them to flee. Remember God's deliverance from Israel from Egypt by the parting of the Red Sea? God has done, he's delivered them. There's no other alternative. They've got to run. They've got to flee. And it says that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. That indicates there's a specific location set aside for her protection. God's going to protect them there for 1,260 days, the last half of the tribulation. The woman will be given supernatural assistance in her flight, as well as supernatural protection and provision en route and upon arrival at her destination. In other words, those that are fleeing, God's going to protect them till they get there, and then he's going to protect them while they're there. She'll be nourished and reside there for the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. 3.5 years. Okay, so then, where is this place? So, most Bible scholars believe this remnant will find refuge in the ancient rock-hewn cliff city of Petra and the surrounding region. Now, let me say right up front, the Bible doesn't tell us that, you know. So we're not sure, but it seems very logical. You know, I mean, when we humans put our brains together, I guess they came up with the fact it's going to be Petra. And Petra looks like a very likely place. Petra is in the land that once belonged to the descendants of Esau. They lived there. And people have lived there off and on, you know, throughout time. And like I told you a couple weeks ago, if you have a chance, get on the internet and look up Petra and take a look at what that is, you know. It's fascinating. A lot of caves and stuff. Big place. And it lies 30 miles southeast of the Dead Sea in present-day Jordan. It's in a remote mountain, very difficult to get to. It's treacherous. And you'll see that if you look up Petra. And during the second half of the tribulation, there will be no safe place to hide anywhere on earth except the refuge God has provided. And again, I say probably at Petra. I don't want to say for sure because God doesn't say for sure, but very likely. The Jews will survive protected by God for 3.5 years. We've already read that. Petra is certainly one of the best natural places on earth for protection. Man, my mouth is not working this morning, folks. I can't spit my words out very good, so I don't know what's happened. Because it can only be entered in by one narrow valley, which would be easy to guard, easy to protect it. Very narrow channel you have to go through. However, given the modern capabilities to fly over the city and bomb even mountain sanctuaries, you know, we can do that today. Just fly over it and drop a bomb in it, you know. So we have that capability. We've done it. Anyway, given the modern capabilities to fly over the city and bomb even mountain sanctuaries, it seems clear that God himself will provide protection for Israel. Nobody's going to do that. Yes, sir. Okay, very good. I hadn't heard that, so thank you, Bill. Very good. Any other comments on that? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 12, and now we'll read verses 15 through 17. So who'd read those for us? John?
Water and the flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried
Okay. A lot of stuff here. So, verse 15. Okay. It says here, the serpent casts out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman to cause her to be carried away. That phrase, to cause her to be carried away, means to destroy her. He's trying to annihilate him. He's trying to kill him, okay, off the face of the earth. Some authors say this could be an actual flood of water. All right, there's different opinions on this. Others say it is best to take this as a figure of speech. The water here evidently means a great multitudes of nations and peoples, okay, like a military invasion. And just flip over to Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. And we'll kind of see why they're saying that this flood could be like a mass of people. Revelation 17, 15. And who'd read that for us? Delbert? Okay, so it's a different, but anyway, the waters you saw are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And so other authors are saying this could mean like a multitude of people. This flood would be like a flood of people, like an army is where we're actually headed here. And they say that the origin of the flood is a sign. In other words, it's a figure. In other words, it's cast out of the mouth of the dragon. Of the great dragon, that cast out of the mouth of the great dragon, and the text says, as a flood. It's not a flood, but as a flood. And so they're saying, for these reasons, it could be talking about, instead of a flood of water, it could just be a flood of a massive amount of people, like an army, meaning like an overwhelming military force. Others say that this may mean a flood of error or heresy. In other words, false doctrine. Could be a flood of false doctrine. And again, I'm just giving you various opinions of the different authors as to what I've studied and what they're saying. They say it could be a flood of error or heresy in the church, and the church being overwhelmed and carried away by false doctrines. That's what they say this flood could be, a flood of false doctrine. In the church. The serpent casts water out of his mouth like a flood to cause her to be carried away, meaning to destroy her, to entirely sweep her away from the face of the earth. So, I'm going to leave it at that and let you guys... they say fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and so I'm not going to rush in on this. So, anyway... The earth will help the woman by opening its mouth and swallow up the flood which the dragon casts out of his mouth. Okay, in other words, somehow this thing fails. The devil's tactic here to try to destroy the Israelites is thwarted again by God's sovereign power. And it says the earth swallows a flood which the dragon casts out of his mouth. This reminds us of the Old Testament times when the earth opened up and swallowed up the rebellious people during Moses' time. You know, people rebelling against Moses. He's been up on Mount Sinai. You know, and people rebelling against God and stuff. The earth opens up and there's been other places where the earth has opened up and swallowed up people. You know, so it reminds us of that. But through all this, it says Michael is going to stand up. Michael is going to stand up and be in charge of this whole operation. He is a special defender. He steps up and prevents this flood from destroying the Israelites. So, and then in verse 17, it says the dragon was wroth with Israel and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, folks, I have struggled with this. You know, the remnant of her seed. Who in the world? Anyway, Antichrist will be thwarted in his attempt to capture the fleeing Israelites. And after failing to destroy those Jews protected by God, so God is, the Bible just said, God's going to protect them for 1260 days. And they're protected and fed and nourished there. Okay? And so, But it says the devil went to make war with a remnant of her seed. Okay, and you just taught the rest of the class. Okay, very good. No, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. And, you are right. Okay, so it says, after failing to destroy these Jews protected by God, the dragon went to make war with a remnant of her seed. What remnant? This has to refer to the ones that are not protected by God in the wilderness. Different location, okay? The term remnant refers to what is left after the main part is gone. That's what a remnant is, okay? This remnant are not just the woman's seed, in other words, as a whole, but the remnant of her seed after the earth helped her. So the earth has helped her. Okay, there's still some Jews left somewhere, all right? He moved away from the woman herself to persecute those who are left, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay? So there's a different part because it talks about it's the woman's seed. You know, well, in other words, the woman who fled and her seed or her offspring that keep the commandments are, at the time verse 17 occurs, in different geographical locations. In other words, you got the one group that's fleeing to the wilderness, and you got the other group. After that, the devil's failed here, and now he's headed off in a different direction to go get the remnant of her seed. And I, like I say, I really battled this one, trying to figure this thing out. So who are the remnant of her seed? And here's one place where nobody said this, but this is the part where I interject my thoughts. And folks, that's dangerous, okay? When I start interjecting my thoughts. But nobody said this, but it's a thought that I came up with all on my own, okay? It says it could be some Jews who disbelieve or refuse to flee, like Christ said, or that maybe they delayed their fleeing for whatever reason. Maybe they went back to pack their suitcase, you know, and they didn't get there in time, okay? That was just my thought, because there's got to be some Jews that aren't being protected by God, according to this scripture here. Okay. They're okay.
There's Jews that are in Jerusalem trying to protect Jerusalem.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good.
So you're on scripture. Just got to go to the Old Testament on that.
Okay. All righty. Good enough. Thank you, Bill. Okay. He is also enraged at converts from all Gentile nations which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's part of that verse. So in other words, when it talks about them, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of Jews are saved during the tribulation period. So he's chapped at everybody. He's coming after them all, okay? Now, one scholar says that this refers to the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. That's what you just got done saying. And so I can include that group of people because they're still alive and well and testifying. So, okay. Now, before we move on, any other questions or comments? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. Okay. These are things that go that I don't know about. So, okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Did everybody get that? Okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on. Anybody else? Okay. Back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. All right. Daniel 12, verse 1. And three quarters of the way through that, and in that verse it says, "And at thy time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." All right, written in the book. So, turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Okay. Zechariah chapter 12, and let's read verse 10. Zechariah 12:10. And who'd read that for us? Tracy? Okay, and now flip over. Now it's talking about, in other words, the Jews are going to get saved at the end here. Now flip over to chapter 13, and Tracy, would you go ahead and read verses 8 and 9, 13, 8 and 9. Okay, we're talking about those whose names are written in the book, okay, the book of life, I think it's referring to. In other words, saved, the ones that are going to get saved. And so there's going to come a slaughter, it talks about during these verses we just read, and two out of every three Jews are going to die, but the other third we're going to live and they will be redeemed. They're the ones protected by God who affirm their relationship to Him. Michael's going to stand up. He's going to be in charge of this whole operation. He's a special defender. But Romans, in Romans chapter 11, don't turn there. In Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27, it says, all Israel shall be saved. So, there's a lot of unbelieving Jews. And so the idea, you know, some people say, hey, that means all Israel means all Israel. Well, no, it means all Israel. Okay, who is this all Israel that's going to be saved? In the end time, during the first part of the testing period, the apostates and the rebels will be purged out. They're going to be killed. We just seen two-thirds of the Jews are going to be killed. God is purging them out, okay? And only the remaining ones are going to be protected. The remaining third. You know, Zechariah 13:8, we just read it, says two-thirds of the Jews are going to die. God's going to allow Satan to unleash all this suffering on the Israelites in order to bring them to repentance. He's trying to draw them to repentance. And again, a lot of the suffering going on, this is a side note, all the suffering going on in the world, God is trying to let people realize human frailty and realize that we are not, well, humans are not in charge. He is all powerful, and God is doing these things to try to draw people to Himself. Now, a lot of times, sinful man will shake our fist in God's face and say, "Why are you doing this to me? I don't. If you're loving God, you wouldn't be doing this to me," and so on. Anyway, God will allow Satan to unleash all this suffering on the Israelites in order to bring them to repentance. And God is backing them in the corner so tightly they have no other means of escaping annihilation but to cry to Him in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what they're going to do. At the end, right at the Battle of Armageddon, the devil's coming in on them. God's going to work in their hearts. He's going to work in their hearts, and all of a sudden they're going to recognize Him as a Savior. They're going to cry out for Him to save them. And He does, and that's when Christ busts through, you know, second return. So, they will recognize Him as who He is. They will recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, these third that are left. This leaves one-third purged as a remnant. That one-third purged then becomes a duly constituted nation. They are the all Israel of Romans chapter 11. Now, they are the all Israel that's promised redemption, the godly remnant. Now, any comments on all of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going through this, folks, in fear and trembling. So, you know, my mind's been changed several times already. It's subject to change now. Show me from Scripture, and I'll, you know, change my mind again. But so far, anyway, enough said. So, how does this remnant come to believe? How do they come to faith? And we've kind of touched on this in the past, but just we're going to skim over it quickly again. Okay, how do the Jews get saved? All right, perhaps due to the Holy Spirit's enlightenment and the understanding of Scripture. People have still got the Scriptures. They're still going to read them. People can come to Christ in reading the Scripture, Jew and Gentile. In addition, in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, you have 144,000 Jews who were sealed and protected by God as evangelists. During this period of time, 12,000 from every tribe. So, just repeating what you've already said. Okay? Then the Jewish people that they reach will become true believers, and they will win other Jews and Gentiles to Christ. Many will come to know him. And then there's a ministry of the angel who flies and proclaims the gospel with a loud voice. So these are all factors during the tribulation is leading people to repentance. Then remember the two witnesses. They're out there. Now we have touched on the two witnesses. We have got 3 minutes. All right, let's go ahead and let's take a look at these two witnesses. Let's find out more about them. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses. Always been kind of a mystery. Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at the ministry of these two witnesses. Revelation 11, and we'll read verses 3 through 12. And who would read those verses for us? Mitch, okay. Mick. Okay, thank you, Mick. And our time is gone. So, keep these thoughts in mind, and we're going to discuss these two witnesses. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. So, anyway, fascinating study here. So, any final questions or comments before we close? Okay, let's close a word of prayer. Thank you guys for being here. I'm enjoying this study. So it's stretching me like you wouldn't believe. Okay. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can hold it in our hands. We can open it up and study it. And Lord, help us be diligent in learning your word, learning about you, learning about us, learning about the past, the future. Lord, you've got it all right here in your word. And you've written what you want us to know, what we need to know. We just pray, Father, that we'll be strengthened as we study this book of Daniel, as we see these things taking place, see your awesome power. And Lord, just help us to yield to you, Lord, to serve you with our hearts diligently, and help us, Lord, to be about your work. And help us, Lord, to draw near unto you, because then you promise you will draw near unto us. And we just pray for that. We just pray now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a morning message. Open our hearts for what you have for us individually. And I pray, Father, that this will be a time of glorifying you and strengthening us. And just help us, Lord, to leave these doors stronger than we were when we came in. We're just thankful for your word and, Lord, the opportunity to study it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.